Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, good morning, sunshines. Welcome to Mini Crush.
The Earth says hello. Noel and Chuck say hello.
So, Noel,
yep.
I think we have to talk about what just happened.
Okay.
So, guys, we came in here and had 8 minutes of solid gold in the can.
It was.
And Noel all of a sudden went, your waveform on the screen is way too small.
That is not a healthy looking waveform.
I don't think we're recording.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Chuck. If anybody wants to hear just my side of that, we can release that as an outtake with the quiet, weedy Chuck sound in the background. But no, I wasn't going to fly. You guys deserve better than that. So we're doing a mulligan. We're doing an intro mulligan.
But it is a mulligan. Let me get my script back out.
Okay.
And see where we left off. How's it going?
You know, it's good. I'm a little flustered. I'm not ashamed to say that.
What? Because that happened?
Yeah, Chuck.
No, I don't fucking care.
I know, dude, but it was.
It's all good.
It was not a good look for me,
that's
Chuck.
That never happened.
Okay, that's fair.
We're drunk.
We are.
We're high as balls.
It's nuts.
I
can't believe I could even figure out how to turn the computer on. You know,
I'm about to pluck a button off this peyote plant.
Button?
And we're going to get down.
What do you mean, a button?
That's what they're called.
Really?
Peyote. It's like a little bud. It's like
I thought they were
button.
Cactuses.
Well, yeah, but on the cactuses, I think they call it a button.
Okay.
It's a little outgrowth.
Is that the same as micro dots?
I don't know. I've never done peyote.
I haven't either. No, I just learned everything I've learned about that stuff. I've learned from like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, or The Doors.
Mm-hmm, The Doors. Yeah.
Or my friend John.
Shout out to John. Okay.
So, yeah, so we should catch up again. I don't feel like that's disingenuous.
No, of course not.
We haven't talked since the walk-in episode came out.
Yes, that's true. And I couldn't help but notice that on social media there was a slight mini backlash.
Just like a mini crush.
Yeah.
I got mini crushed a bit. No, it was fine. It was like 99% of people were awesome and thought it was great. And the people that – I'm not saying the people that had a took issue were not awesome. You were still awesome.
Of course.
But here's my theory, Noel.
Yep.
You ready for this? Some people get legitimately upset at stuff like this. And I think those are people that might have something from their past, like a legitimate duping in their own life that this may trigger.
That's fair. And I mean –
just a armchair psychology take.
I think that's totally fair. And I do want to say that this could not have been less mean-spirited. Some April Fool's pranks are kind of nasty, and this one
dude,
is just
like – the one
where
I quit Stuff You Should Know, that people should have been mad at that.
Yeah.
Because that was not fun and
right,
cool.
Right, because people need their Stuff You Should Know.
I think people were relieved, so I got off the hook.
That's fair. That's good.
But
this
one wasn't mean.
No, it wasn't mean, and it was very funny. And let's be honest. As good an impressionist as Kevin Pollak is.
Oh, so many people are all over it. Like, Kevin Pollak.
Of course it's Kevin Pollak. I mean, and it's, you know, people just forget that it's April 1st.
Yeah.
When something like that happens, if something smells a little fishy on April 1st, you got to know it's an April Fool's joke. That's just, I feel like that's April Fool's 101, dude, you know?
I mean, I know, but, you know, apparently there are rules. There were people that said, like, you have to reveal by noon, which...
Noon?
I played 2 April Fool's jokes in my life. I'm not an April Fool's guy. That's the big irony here.
Where are these rules? This isn't.
I have no idea.
This isn't NOM.
But I did feel genuinely bad that like the people that got like for real upset. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just trying to have a little fun.
Oh no, it was fun, and
almost everyone loved it.
And did you mean to not post the picture at first? I think some people were like, "We know it's not real because he didn't post a picture."
All right, so here's the deal. I didn't want Coop, the RoboCoop, Aaron Cooper, our Photoshop genius and friend, to I didn't want to ruin it for him. I got in touch with him about a month ago, and I found this picture of Christopher walking in the wild at an airport with this guy that looked like, that's probably the picture to use.
Yep.
And I didn't want to ruin the joke for Coop, so I emailed him, and then I was like, you know what? Forget it. Don't worry about it. Then after he had listened to the episode – I think he emailed me or something and was like, hey, I think this is what you're talking about. So then I got him to do it, put it up, and only left it up for a couple of hours because some people thought it was a really bad Photoshop and blew it. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was okay too.
And other people are like, "See, it's there. He is. It's
I'm
proof."
I'm not some kind of forensic Photoshop guy or whatever. But
I thought he did a great job.
Well, he always does a great job. And then afterward, the even better part was he started photoshopping the Photoshop where I think he switched your faces.
Well, yeah, and then other people and it then, became a mini meme.
Oh, it's great. No, that's good. Mini memes on Mini Crush.
It was a lot of fun though.
I enjoyed it as well, Chuck. I have to say I haven't listened to the whole thing yet, but yeah. I look forward to hearing. I think you said there were some outtakes because you cracked up a few times and,
yes.
and then Ramsey
that was
cut
how
that
I
out.
Revealed it on Wednesday.
Ah.
So you should listen to that one.
I will.
You should listen to both.
Oh, I will.
They're fun. All right, Noel. I also saw Us.
Where did you see Us?
I saw it at North DeKalb.
Oh, I see.
Which is not my favorite theater to go to,
the movie,
but it's
Us.
The closest. Oh, you thought you meant You and Me?
I thought, yeah, you saw Us out in the wild. That would be very Us-like, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you think?
Well, here's the deal, everyone. We can talk about this without spoiling it, but if you really don't want to hear anything, just give us a few minutes.
I think we should do an exercise in discussing a movie without spoiling anything.
Right.
We can do it.
I thought it was great mm-hmm. and a lot of fun, and I just love his movies so far.
It's just like he's so good at taking these things you've seen a million times or that have been established by, like, you know, Jaws or Hit Psycho or something, these
yeah.
vibes, or tropes even, and just, like, flip them just enough where it feels mm-hmm. fresh. And it doesn't even feel like a Tarantino-esque, like, pastiche.
Not at all.
It's like his own thing. You can't even put your finger quite on what makes it so special.
Agreed.
It's, like, familiar but new.
Yeah.
He's just great.
Yeah. They're awesome. I love both of them. I don't even want to compare them. Us was so fun and creepy and, like, his use of music. And it was funny, again, in all the right places. Tim Heidecker and Elizabeth Moss were so great. He's awesome. The whole cast, man. If, like, she doesn't get an Academy Award, or at least a nomination, she won't win an Academy Award for
a
horror movie.
Yeah, no.
It's not even a horror movie, though.
The Academy doesn't like horror movies. Like, what's her name? From Toni Collette from Hereditary should have won a damn.
At least
gotten a nod, but.
I think this has a chance.
Maybe.
You know?
The thing, too, that was cool about this isn't even something I think about directly because of the fact that it was so good. Like, the use of them playing with themselves.
Right.
And the way it's staged.
You totally forget about
it. You forget that it's even a thing.
Yeah.
The closest thing I can think of that did it this well was the movie Dead Ringers, the Cronenberg movie where
sure.
Jeremy Irons, like, plays his yeah. twin brothers.
Uh-huh.
And they used, like, that was really early motion capture technology
yeah.
or whatever. But that was one where it just felt like two.
Yeah, yeah. Adaptation,
people.
Too.
Adaptation did do a great job. That's right. Uh-huh. Totally forgot
it's,
about that.
It's to get to play two roles like that. That voice, man, just like crawl out of my skin when I think about that sound.
Did it scare you, Chuck?
Oh, man.
It creeped my girlfriend out quite a lot.
Well, maybe it's because you did that in the middle of the night or something.
It's also, and then after we saw Hereditary, I kept doing, you know?
Oh, right.
I'm sure people love that. That's not original or cute at all. But yeah, no, I mean, so no, not even a comparison to Get Out, except in that they both have these Twilight Zone-y kind of conceits where it's somewhere between science fiction and
mm-hmm.
horror,
yep.
but also grounded in, you know, reality and, like, current.
Yeah, so good. They're like, there's a statement so far with both of these movies that he's not beating you over the head with, but it's there.
Yep.
I loved it, man. I thought it was so good. I can't wait to see his career continue.
Oh, dude, funny story. I was texting with a friend of mine who lives in L.A. who just sold his house to congratulate him. And he's like, you'll never believe who my new park kid playground buddy is.
No way.
Yep.
Oh, like Jordan Peele's kid is there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're about the same age, I think. And they just end up sitting and talking about daycares and schools and sports and stuff. And, you know, because it's not like, what are you going to just sweat him about every detail about his career? That's not how you do that. No.
You got to play it cool.
You got to play it cool.
But here's what you do. You play it cool, like you said. Talk about kids, a little bit of sports, and then just pepper in
just,
a little thing
pepper.
Every now and then.
You do a little dusting.
Like, oh, by the way, I saw that, what was that, Get Out movie
that
thing
you did? That was pretty cool.
Pretty great. And I kind of worship you and think you're awesome. And I love Key and Peele.
Oh, God.
When is he going to put him in a movie of his?
I'm sure that'll happen. But you know what? I also kind of don't think he's ever going to be in one of his own movies, right? He seems like he's done with – I think he said he was done with acting or done
really?
With being in front of the camera. And this
well,
is what he wants
who
to
was
do.
The guy who played the dad in Us?
I can't remember his name. He was in Black Panther, and he was so great.
Yeah. He felt a bit like a Jordan Peele surrogate.
Kind of did, like, the
goofy. He looks like him a little bit, but, like, a bigger guy.
Yes. No, I agree. Yeah. And he kind of has that, like, Obama voice a little bit, you know? A kind of, like, a little bit of a goofball dad kind of voice, you know?
I love that Obama's a goofball dad.
Doesn't he seem like it? He seems like a sweet dude.
I bet he's fun. Like us. He's just like us, Noel. We're basically the same three guys.
Yeah.
All right, Noel. We've got a new segment here called Corrections Corner. Because we make mistakes. I make mistakes, Noel. You make mistakes.
I don't make mistakes, Chuck.
Guests of the show on the interview dishes make mistakes.
That's fair.
Because we're just having a conversation. You and I will look stuff up every now and then now. But you're not going to do that in the middle of a interview.
No.
I don't even like to call them interviews. It makes me uneasy.
I kind of like hearing these, though. Some people it annoys. Maybe I just don't hear them enough. That hasn't quite gotten under my skin.
The corrections?
I like hearing them.
No, it's good. Josh and I have a long history of correcting our stuff, which is, you get stuff wrong. So we're going to do this at the top of every show, everyone. And I've pinned this post to the top of the Movie Crush Facebook page, Movie Crush with Chuck Bryant is how you look that up. And so it's pinned there at the top. Leave your corrections. And I'm just going to go through like a couple of these at the top of the show every week. Not spend too much time on them because who wants to like dive deep into corrections?
Maybe not too deep. We'll do a little dip a toe.
All right. Daniel Smith says, Manhattan clam chowder is the red one. New England clam chowder is the white. I totally know this, so I have no idea. Did you get it wrong? Did I get that wrong?
I don't remember talking about chowder at all, actually, but
I know my chowders.
Yeah. Manhattan is the red. New England is the one you think of. That's the classic creamy
white deliciousness. Yeah. Yeah.
And the red is almost more like a tomato-y.
It's tomato based. Who wants
soup. That's not I don't even think of that as clam chowder.
Stick it, Manhattan. All right. We'll go with Skylar Ward here. Our old pal Skylar says Lord of the Rings was only three movies. Yes, only. One for each book. The Hobbit, however, was three forking movies for one book.
Oh, I think I said something like the last one was divided into two. Okay, well, they did that with Harry Potter, though, I believe. Well, the Deathly Hallows was...
I certainly wouldn't know.
Well, I think I was just, since I love Harry Potter so much, I tend to just think everything is just like Harry Potter.
We don't even plan for that to come up, and it just comes up.
It just does. It's just where my heart is.
So some people are just having fun and not leaving real corrections. I get it, everybody. Let me see here. Oh, this is a good one. Carolyn McGovern Santiago says, this week you talked about Wild Things, the movie, and said it was Denise Richards and Naomi Campbell, not Nev Campbell.
That was probably me.
Maybe so.
That feels like it was me.
That might have been your subconscious talking. You might have wanted to see Naomi Campbell in that role.
Well,
I know
that's possible,
would
of course. But Nev was just fine. I had a huge crush on Nev Campbell
from
Scream and Party of Five and all that stuff. I know who Nev Campbell is. That was a Freudian slip, I bet, Chuck. That's exactly what that was.
All right. That's it for Corrections Corner. We'll just do a couple of those every week. And, Noel, that means it's time to move on to social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
Well, we got a couple of social studies coming up here, and we're going to revisit the old best last line of a movie that we did a bit ago. And I left that one up there. And here we go with Dan Stillhart Browdy. Can you read the book to me again tomorrow as you wish?
Oh, well, come now. That was us, The Princess Bride, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
That is a good one. Because you kind of learn that all the catchphrases, like, in the fantasy story, the movie, I guess,
sure.
The guy that the grandpa's reading came from his imagination, or at least they shared this kind of, like,
that's right.
experience.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
They're making that into a musical, and about half the people were, well, I'd say less than that, about 20% of the people were like, awesome, and 80% were like, ugh, don't do it.
I wonder how Ted Cruz feels about it. You know, he's a big Princess Bride fan. Yeah. Mandy Patinkin, like, came on Twitter.
That really
was like, could you really stop, please?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's a video. You can look up Ted Cruz reciting scenes from The Princess Bride and doing the voices and everything.
Oh, good Lord,
yeah,
Noel.
It's not good.
Oh, boy.
How do you feel about the Beetlejuice musical? There is a Beetlejuice Broadway musical.
I think they're overdoing it with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Broadway has become as bad as movies as far as just unoriginality.
That's
I mean,
true.
Hamilton, and there's plenty of great on Broadway, trust
me. I think the Beetlejuice would be fun as a musical, though. Sorry, dude. I'm a sucker for Beetlejuice. Give me as much Beetlejuice as you got.
I'll take some more Beetlejuice, sir.
More Beetlejuice, please. And God, Tim Burton, make Beetlejuice 2 good. Please.
I'm very nervous about that.
Dumbo looks depressing. Like, I don't even, why is he, why does he keep doing these weird, sad Disney movies where he just kind of Tim Burtons it up, but just enough to make it feel weird and off? Like, I don't know.
I have no desire to see Dumbo. Hopefully my daughter won't know that there's such a thing. Let me see here. John B. McCarty. Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Pretty classic.
I don't think I don't recognize it. I recognize the line. But
it's got to be Casablanca, I think.
Ah, I think you're right.
There's one line that everyone thinks is from that movie that he didn't say in that movie. Play it again, Sam, or here's looking at you, kid. One of those.
Oh, maybe so.
Can't remember which one.
I have never seen Casablanca. Didn't you say you hadn't for a while either?
I still haven't.
Okay.
Okay, Alan Richardson, this is a good one. At the end of Army of Darkness, Hail to the King, baby.
Classic.
The great Bruce Campbell. Christina Martson from The Big Lebowski. Say, friend, got any more of that good sarsaparilla? Good last line. Let me see here. Danielle Felito. Great name. It's too bad she won't live, but then again, who does? That is from Blade Runner, the narration edition.
Uh-huh.
Did we talk about that? What do you think about that?
We did.
You like the narration?
Isn't the narration in the original theatrical release?
I think so.
And then the director's
cut. And Ridley Scott did not want it. The director's cut does not have it.
That's right. Because I think we talked about how it felt like Hollywood kind of hand-holding and saying, audiences aren't going to be smart enough to know what's going on if you don't kind of feed it to them.
Can't you get Harrison Ford just to read what's going on?
Yeah, but at the same time, some of that was – there were some good lines in that.
No, it wasn't like poorly written.
Yeah.
I think it was still written by Hampton Fancher and the other guy, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I've seen the director's cut, if I'm being honest. I have not seen the the non-VO version.
You have a Blade Runner-sized hole in the middle of your body right now.
It's just half a hole.
Gail Kuntz, our old friend from Ohio. The last line of Psycho. I'm not even going to sot that fly. I hope they're watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know and they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
Ugh. Yeah.
So good.
That's actually scary.
Yeah, man. Like just now you were scared a little bit?
I was a little scared, Chuck. I was a little scared of you. I started feeling my trust for you draining away because I was like, wait a minute. Who is this psychopath?
Why is Chuck wearing a dress?
Me? Yeah. Well, I've been wondering that since you walked in the room. But
yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That was a little weird.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different choice. I don't know.
I mean, I wear plenty of dresses, but I think the fact that it was like clearly a grandma's dress from the 1940s.
Yes. And that gray wig is a little off-putting too, Chuck, I have to say.
I'm not rocking my usual micro mini.
No, that's also true.
All right, let's just do a couple of more
sure.
of these because we blabbered for so long. Tony Reichenberger from the movie The Artist, with pleasure. I never saw that.
I saw it right when it came out, and I mean, it's great. And it makes sense that Hollywood would love it because it's this classic, you know, Busby Berkeley kind of musical extravaganza. That's why they loved La La Land so much. It just feels like they go out for that kind of nostalgia stuff. Yeah,
I feel like that movie, though, not La La Land, but The Artist is like, seems like it kind of went away from the public consciousness.
Absolutely.
Very quickly.
Absolutely it did.
Like I had forgotten about it. I don't hear a lot of people talking about that film.
I kind of think because it has the feel of like a foreign film or like something. It has the feel of a much smaller film. And I think a lot of key people really, really loved it. But maybe the public at large wasn't aware enough of it or something.
Maybe.
There's a dog performance that people really love. There's like a cute little
Right. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was on the red carpet and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's fun. All right. We'll finish up with one more from Matt Rabe or Rob. I'm going to add a line to the preceding line that he typed too. I don't know. Maybe it was Utah. Raising Arizona Knoll.
Ah, yeah, that's one I haven't seen still.
I feel like we should just start a new podcast called Knoll's Holes.
That would be a very short podcast, Chuck. It would be about Raising Arizona and Blade Runner, the non-narration version, because I've seen everything else.
You have seen everything else. All right, Noel, we're going to finish up with another social studies. And this, I went the TV route and just said, let's do a Saturday Night Live tribute and name your favorite all-time cast member along with the favorite character that they played. Think on yours, unless you know.
No, I kind of have to think. There's so many choices.
So many choices. It is really tough because my first thought was Will Ferrell because he's so great in every skit he did. My next thought was Kristen Wiig. And then I just started thinking about, oh my God, like there's 1,000.
It's too much.
Too much. I mean, Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
John Belushi?
It's out of control.
It's out of control. Bill Murray? No?
I guess I would. I mean, the thing is, though, I know Bill Murray more for his acting stuff than I do from his SNL stuff. And the later ones, like the Bill Haders and the, you know, Kristen Wiggs, I know
Hader's so great.
Some key sketches that I can think of them about.
Kenan Thompson.
What's his name, too? Like Will Ferrell, my favorite sketch that he does. Oh, there's several, but the one where he's the creepy old pervy guy in the hot tub.
Yeah, yeah. Fine plates of meats
yes,
and cheeses.
Yes, exactly. Goblets of wine. When we make love.
Oh, I love that sketch so much.
It's like, something about beneath the water's surface, there's a flurry of activity. And who is it? Rachel Dratch? She's his, like, creepy girlfriend.
So, Dratch was so good on that show,
and
too, man.
And she sort of talks in, like, this weird. Oh.
It's just, it's like, oh. I love those, the best man, that are just really funny and weird.
And just absurd.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Oh man,
I'm gonna go with Ferrell as far as like his SNL work because I think you kind of have to think of it like that, right?
Know. You know who one of the weirdest, greatest cast members ever to me was Forte. He did the weirdest characters.
I can't think of any that
he did. I mean, he did the Falconer. Was that it?
Oh wait, he was also MacGruber, right?
Wasn't he was MacGruber. Sure, yeah. That was fantastic. Yeah. All right, let's just go ahead and get going here, everybody. Jim Franks said, does it get any better than Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek and Daryl Hammond as Sean Connery in Celebrity Jeopardy?
It's fantastic.
It's hard to top that.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And it was the two of them. It was the way that rivalry, you know.
Absolutely.
And then occasionally throwing Norm MacDonald as Burt Reynolds in like you're all set.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our old pal, Gemma Marie, says Bill Hader's Stefan. Beloved character. Very funny.
Very funny. It was almost like it was kind of like Mango, like a little bit. Like an over-the-top kind of performance-y diva kind of character, but like a little more grounded. I don't know. I really, really love that character too.
Oh, man. Joshua Brennan. This is such a fun segment. I love remembering these characters. Joshua Brennan says, Tracy Morgan as Brian Fellows. Do you remember that?
I don't think so.
Brian Fellows was a nature show host guy, like what's his face?
David Attenborough or something?
That died by stingray.
The crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin. Yeah.
He was sort of like Irwin, but he didn't know anything about animals. So like there would be like a peacock or something and he'd be like, look at that crazy dog with those feathers.
That's great.
And he always like mix up even what the animal was.
Okay, I got to look this up.
Oh my God.
I love Keenan though, man. He's a kind of an unsung hero of SNL because you know, I knew him from like Good Burger and like all that, which is like the kids kind of sketch show on Nickelodeon or whatever when I was a kid.
He's a cool guy.
And
too,
he's
man.
Been in the cast, I think, for the longest now of anyone that's on.
Yeah, I got to get him in here. He's from Atlanta.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He's so consistent, though. Like, he is just so consistent with whatever however they use him. You know, he's amazing.
What's Up With That? Is that the name of the show?
It was called
What's
All it? That.
All That?
Yeah, it was called All That.
Was that when they did the dance at the beginning?
Yeah.
And Sudeikis was doing the running man?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the show on Nickelodeon, All That.
I don't know what that is.
So, okay, well, it's a thing. You remember Good Burger? Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
I was way too old for that stuff, but I know it existed.
Yes, it did.
I almost outdate Nickelodeon, Noel. That's how old I am.
I remember the very beginnings of Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I was a little old. It was a little bit slightly under my pay grade.
That's fair. That's fair.
Kara, ooh, goodness me. Chrysostomo. That's a great name.
And a great accent.
Gilda Radner as Roseanne, Roseanne, and Dana. Classic, classic character. Eric Knight says Chris Farley, the Colombian decaf coffee crystals hidden camera reaction guy, Michael Huff. I remember that bit. That was funny. Let me see here. Rachel Dratch is Debbie Downer. That's from Jenna Morning Sturgis. Debbie Downer lives on today, is one of the great memes. Rob Johnston says Phil Hartman, damn near everything he touched was gold, but for the sake of the post, I'll say unfrozen caveman lawyer. That was great, and I used to love Hartman, Lovitz, and Kevin Nealon doing Tarzan, Frankenstein, and Tonto.
Which is a little problematic now, kind of, with the Tonto thing.
You can't really make fun of Frankenstein. Oh, no, wait. I know what you meant.
It's funny, Chuck. It's very funny.
It was so good, though. Because it was Hartman was Frankenstein, and they would be singing songs, and he would just be going, Brad Twining, Chris Farley, and the Chris Farley Show. Classic. Still often homaged and lampooned, the Chris Farley Show.
I don't think I remember this.
That was where he had an interview show, and he was just really like completely nervous and beat himself up.
Okay, yes, yes.
Like Paul McCartney. Yeah. Like, remember when you were in the Beatles? That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, that's the catchphrase. He kind of pauses and is like, yeah. Mm.
that was awesome. Tammy Mitchell says Dana Carvey, way underrated. I would agree with that as Garth. That's her favorite character. Garth was good. Molly Shannon, that is from Caton Jojo Maine, Mary Catherine Gallagher. Holy crap, I can't handle it. I agree. And Molly Shannon, I've gushed and gushed about her on the show. She is a dream guest. I just want to hug her neck. Seems like such a nice lady. Let me see here. Don Kuby Cubes, our old friend. She says it's her favorite show. So hard to choose. She's going to go with Kenan Thompson as DeAndre Cole and Kristen Wiig as literally anything. I don't know if I could pick a favorite Kristen Wiig character. Target Lady is up there for me because it's so weird and funny.
I feel like my SNL knowledge is very spotty. Like, I feel like there's a handful of folks that I know pretty well.
Yeah.
And I know Kristen Wiig, obviously, but I can't
Target
pinpoint.
Lady, she played the cashier at a Target. In like Minnesota, and she had this heavy accent, and it was just really funny how
Got
she
it.
Said stuff. And then, of course, the other bit I liked from Kristen Wiig was when she played the sister with the tiny baby hands, the singing sisters. So good. We're going to have to continue this in another week for sure because there's way too much good stuff here, Noel. I'm going to go through a couple of more. Jean Sharp says Jan Hooks and Nora Dunn as the Sweeney sisters. Gene, that's one of my fave all-time bits. Me and my good friend Eddie still do a little Sweeney Brothers bit every now and then. Mitchell Bass says Chris Farley as Matt Foley. A lot of people pick that. In a van down by the river. Very classic, Noel.
He's like an effective motivational speaker, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. Kristen Glenn Kister, our old pal, says, can we talk about Tim Meadows as the ladies' man? Yeah. I used to love that. Tim Meadows went to the Hollywood YMCA when I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And to get my morning workout in, and Tim Meadows was often there near me on the treadmills.
Nice.
And I always wanted to say hi to him. You know who else ran next to me one day?
Who's that?
George Thorogood.
Who's George Thorogood? Is he
the singer.
He's a country singer kind of, right?
No, he's bad to the bone.
Bad to the bone, yeah.
And I Drink Alone, yeah, and every other song that sounds like
that's
that.
That's kind of country. It's sort of like Hank Williams-y kind of outlaw country.
Sort of a rock and roll.
I guess that's true.
Here's the thing. I hate George Thorogood,
uh-huh.
But to see him, God bless him, yeah. On that treadmill doing
sure.
His best.
Yeah,
I've done the imitation of him jogging before and what it looked like. It's pretty funny.
Okay.
He was old. He's trying to take care of himself.
That's good. That's a good thing to do. You can't fault him for that.
And James LaGrosse, he used to go in there. Who else? That's where you see, a lot of the Hollywood types don't want to go to the the crunch or the abs with a Z or what, you know, all those flashy things.
The cube.
Yeah, they're on the down low at the Hollywood Y.
I like that. That makes sense. Oh, I'm a Y guy. Are you a Y guy still?
I am a Y guy. No, East Lake Y.
Yep. Where I go to that one. I go to East Lake Y.
Oh, yeah? Well, I haven't been in there in a while, so you probably haven't seen
it. That's fair.
All right. I think that does it for this week. We're going to definitely continue that SNL bit in the future because that was a lot of fun and we just ran out of time today. So for Noel Brown, I've been Chuck Bryant.
And for Chuck Bryant, I've been Noel Brown.
Good day.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.